Welcome back, listeners, to Sandman Stories Presents, a folklore podcast where I read you to sleep or until the next story. I'm your host, Dustin. Today we are back in Ghana with the Ve stories recorded by William Barker. In our first story, we learn how Tortoise gets his shell, and in the second one, we learn why it is better to keep your promises, lest you lose your head. Okay, let's begin. How Tortoise Got His Shell. A few hundred years ago, the chief Maori, God, determined to have a splendid yam festival. He therefore sent his messengers to invite all his chiefs and people to the gathering, which was to take place on Fida, Friday. On the morning of that day, he sent some of his servants to the neighboring towns and villages to buy goats, sheep, and cows for the great feast. Mr. Klo, the tortoise, who was a tall and handsome fellow, was sent to buy palm wine. He was directed to the palm fields of Koklovi, the chicken. At that time, Klo was a very powerful traveler and speedily reached his destination, although it was many miles distant from Maori's place. When he arrived, Koklovi was having his breakfast. When they had exchanged polite salutations, Koklovi asked for the reason for Klo's visit. He replied, "I was sent by His Majesty Maori, the ruler of the world, to buy him palm wine." "Whether he's the ruler of the world or not," answered Koklovi, "no one can buy my wine with money. If you want it, you must fight for it. If you win, you can have it all, and the palm trees too." This answer delighted Klo, as he was a very strong fighter. Koklovi was the same, so that the fighting continued for several hours before Klo was able to overcome Koklovi. He was at last successful, however, and securely bound Koklovi before he left him. Then, taking his great pot, he filled it with wine. Finding that there was more wine than the pot would hold, Klo foolishly drank all the rest. He then piled the palm trees on his back and set out for the palace with a pot of wine. The amount which he had drunk, however, made him feel so sleepy and tired that he could not walk fast with his load. Adding to this, a terrible rain began to fall, which made the ground very slippery and still more difficult to travel over. By the time Klo succeeded in reaching his master's palace, the gates were shut and locked. Maori, finding it so late, had concluded that everyone was inside. There were many people packed into the great hall, and all were singing and dancing. The noise of the concert was so great that no one heard Klo's knocking at the gate, and there he had to stay with his great load of wine and palm trees. The rain continued for nearly 2 months and was so terrible that the people all remained in the palace till it had finished. By that time, Klo had died under the weight of his load, which he had been unable to get off his back. There he lay before the gate with a pile of palm trees on top of him. When the rain ceased and the gates were opened, the people were amazed to see this great mound in front of the gate, where before there had been nothing. They fetched spades and began to shovel it away. When they came to the bottom of the pile, there lay Klo. His earthenware pot and dust had caked together and formed quite a hard cover on his back. He was taken into the palace, and by the use of many wonderful medicines, he was restored to life. But since that date, he has never been able to stand upright. He has been a creeping creature with a great shell on his back. The end. Okay, and story number 2, The Hunter and the Tortoise. A village hunter had one day gone farther afield than usual. Coming to a part of the forest with which he was unacquainted, he was astonished to hear a voice singing. He listened, and this was the song. "It is man who forces himself on things, not things which force themselves on him." The singing was accompanied by sweet music, which entirely charmed the hunter's heart. When the little song was finished, the hunter peeped through the branches to see who the singer could be. Imagine his amazement when he found it was none other than a tortoise with a tiny harp slung in front of her. Never had he seen such a marvelous thing. Time after time he returned to the same place in order to listen to this wonderful creature. At last he persuaded her to let him carry her back to his hut, so that he might enjoy her singing daily in comfort. This she permitted, only on the understanding that she sang to him alone. The hunter did not rest long content with this arrangement, however. Soon he began to wish that he could show off this wonderful tortoise to all the world, and thereby thought he would gain great honor. He told the secret first to one, then to another, until finally it reached the ears of the chief himself. The hunter was commanded to come and tell his tale before the assembly. However, when he described the tortoise who sang and played on the harp, the people shouted in scorn. They refused to believe him. At last he said, "If I do not speak the truth, I will give you leave to kill me. Tomorrow I will bring the tortoise to this place, and you may all hear her. If she cannot do as I say, I am willing to die." "Good," replied the people. "And if the tortoise can do as you say, we give you leave to punish us in any way you choose." The matter being settled, the hunter returned home, well pleased with the prospect. As soon as the morrow dawned, he carried the tortoise and harp down to the assembly place, where a table had been placed ready for her. Everyone gathered round to listen, but no song came. The people were very patient, and quite willing to give both tortoise and hunter a chance. Hours went by, and to the hunter's dismay and shame, the tortoise remained mute. He tried every means in his power to coax her to sing, but in vain. The people at first whispered, then spoke outright, in scorn of the boaster and his claims. Night came on and brought with it the hunter's doom. As the last ray of the setting sun faded, he was beheaded. The instant this happened, the tortoise spoke. The people looked around at one another in troubled wonder. "Our brother spoke the truth then, and we have killed him." The tortoise, however, went on to explain. "He brought his punishment on himself. I led a happy life in the forest, singing my little song. He was not content to come and listen to me. He had to tell my secret, which did not concern him at all, to all the world. Had he not tried to make a show of me, this would have never happened. It is man who forces himself on things, not things which force themselves on him." The end. Oh, I love the first story. Imagining the tortoise as a fast and strong man who gets punished for his foolishness just makes for a great story. And the fact that Chicken challenged him to a fight for the palm wine was quite a bit of fun. I also like how the author left in some of the original language, ve, spelled E-W-E. It helps folks remember that these stories originate from living cultures. And in the second story, I like how the tortoise wouldn't help him and left him to suffer his own imposed punishment. He should have just kept his promise. And the podcast shout-out is to an author, Helen of Mythological Africans. She is a Cameroonian folklorist based in America who's bringing stories like these back to the mainstream. Her book, The Runaway Princess and Other Stories, takes great care to treat the stories and people who created the stories with respect. She also hires African artists to draw culturally accurate pictures for her stories and works with each artist to make sure every detail is just right. And if you like her book as much as I do, go and pick it up and support her and the artists. And the listener shout-out is to Northern Ireland. Something that surprised me about Northern Ireland is that it only dates back to 1921. I mean, the land has been there for eons, but the political entity, that is the six northeastern counties on the island of Ireland, only became official with the Government of Ireland Act of 1920. One of my favorite shows from there is called Derry Girls, and the cast is hilarious. And one of my friends, Mark S., is also from there, so shout out to Mark as well. To all my listeners in Northern Ireland, I say thank you and good night.